Schools aren't supposed to share confidential student data, but sometimes they do with the police. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Molly Wood. The federal government is looking into whether a Florida school district violated privacy law by sharing student data with the county sheriff's department. An investigation by the Tampa Bay Times found that the Pasco County School District shared grades, discipline records, and attendance with the sheriff's office, which then used the data to create a list of potential future criminals. Amelia Vance is with the nonprofit Future of Privacy Forum. She said such data sharing disproportionately affects students of color.
One of the things that I was really thankful that Congressman Bobby Scott pointed out in his letter to the Department of Education, urging them to investigate this matter, was that this data sharing risks subjecting students, especially Black and Latino students, to excessive law enforcement interactions and stigmatization.
The pipeline to prison, basically.
Exactly.
Tell us about the idea behind this, the predictive policing concept, which is basically, right, that if you have enough data, you can determine what is likely to happen to a child as they get older? I mean, seems like there could be some flaws in that already.
Especially because the research that's listed in the Pasco County Sheriff's manual includes risk factors such as antisocial parents and siblings, socioeconomically deprived. This is, you know, a series of risk factors that could apply to a number of students that are never going to commit a crime. To take all of those students, label them at risk, and then have that information shared with law enforcement is just a recipe for stigmatization of those students. And as you mentioned, pushing them further towards that school to prison pipeline.
A lot of schools presumably have access to a lot more data after the last year of remote schooling and new software-based tools. Could this overall increase in data collection add to the problem or the temptation of law enforcement to want all of it?
It could certainly lead to that data feeding into that early warning system, potentially labeling students at risk because maybe, you know, missing 3 days of class in a quarter increased the risk level of a student just a slight amount, and then that list of at-risk students is going to the sheriff's office. And so while none of this is contingent on the remote learning that has been occurring, the extra data collection does perhaps enhance the likelihood of a student being labeled at risk.
Tell us about the federal law that is supposed to prevent this kind of sharing, Family Educational Rights and Privacy Act, FERPA.
So FERPA was passed in 1974, ironically, to help prevent this sort of turning over information to law enforcement without parents and students being aware of it. So you had a survey done prior to the law passing that actually showed that school districts were more likely to turn over information to police, to the FBI, to potential employers without ever telling parents and students about it. And so this law was passed that said information should not be shared without parental consent or a legal exception applying. And most importantly, parents and students should know when this information is turned over, either through documentation requirements or through proactive notifications, especially when the data is being turned over to law enforcement.
Do you have a sense of whether this kind of data sharing is happening elsewhere? Because it sounds like you're saying the law was crafted to prevent what was a pretty common process.
Yeah, that was definitely what that 1972 survey found. Districts across the country were reporting that students had parents who were part of the civil rights movements, who were, you know, potentially involved with as you can imagine, in that time period, communism or other things that scared the American public. It was definitely commonly happening back then. Today, it's not as clear. This is a clear-cut case where there's, you know, a manual, there's a data sharing agreement, and there's the excellent reporting by the Times that says that this is happening in Pasco County. I think the big question is you have school districts all over the country that have similar programs to Pasco, an early warning system, which is meant to prevent students from dropping out of high school, meant to identify when kids need interventions from teachers or school counselors and get them back on track, whether that's, you know, helping them get up to grade level in their reading or math, whether that's identifying maybe that their parents are going through a divorce and they need extra support, identifying, you know, whether they need breakfast or lunch because they're not getting that at home or they're part of the foster care system. That information is so sensitive, though, that it should never be going to law enforcement.
How does the law play into this? Like, do you feel like this is a broad misunderstanding of FERPA? School districts don't know enough about it, or are they just sort of ignoring it because the transfer's so easy and the cops were asking?
I think it's a mix of both. There's been a real understandable reluctance from school districts to turn away law enforcement when they ask for student data, even though very clearly under FERPA, it is generally not allowed, and especially not allowed without usually a subpoena or court order. But schools worry that this means that, you know, schools will not be safe, that they may miss a threat, even though if we look at, you know, the history of school shootings, overwhelmingly there were plenty of signals, plenty of law enforcement entities who knew about troubled students, and it just wasn't shared among law enforcement agencies, wasn't shared more broadly. So I think it's really a mistaken impression and does lead school districts to lean towards sharing more information with law enforcement than they're supposed to.
Amelia Vance is with the nonprofit Future of Privacy Forum. The Pasco County School District told us, quote, "We strive to strike the right balance with mutual information sharing as we make every effort to meet our top priority, keeping students safe." And now for some related links. This investigation started with and continues to be covered by the Tampa Bay Times. We've got links to their work over at marketplacetech.org. You can also read the whole response from the school district, which also said that one of the lessons of the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas school shooting in Parkland, Florida, was that agencies must communicate with each other and share information. The district said its relationship with the sheriff's office had benefited students when law enforcement had information that the school did not. Today, a group of local, state, and national organizations formed a coalition to ask the Pasco County School District to stop sharing confidential information with the sheriff's office, saying it leads to harassment and surveillance of Black students. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.